to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, October 18th, 2017. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to the resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals and a Disney-featured stroller vendor. Today on the Dad Show, Kevin Crossman is back to join us. Kevin had the pleasure of getting sort of the ultimate Diz Dad gift, I think, an adults-only trip, and it was tied to a work trip, so he really did have to go to Walt Disney World to work, right, Kev?
That's right. Aloha, everyone, and I had to go to Orlando for a conference, Microsoft conference, and it was timed very well that I stayed over for the weekend and a couple days, and my wife flew out so we could enjoy Disney World.
All right. Now, before we dive into the Disney World part of the trip report, I think I want to touch just really briefly on sort of pre your Walt Disney World sort of vacation part. During the conference itself, you had a bit of a unique opportunity that I think would be interesting to talk about just a little bit. That is that being at the big Microsoft Ignite conference, Microsoft, you know, deep pockets, they bought out Universal for a night.
That's right. It was pretty cool. And, you know, I'd never been to Orlando outside of late November, December, January, and I knew the weather was going to be different, but it definitely was, you know, very different in that respect. And of course, we were coming, you know, this was 2 weeks after the hurricane, and there was some question about this thing all coming together or whatever. But luckily, it seems like Orlando was spared most of the heavy brunt of the hurricane, and conference went off. And like you were saying, it was great that they always have like a big party at the end of the conference. And this year, they bought out both Universal Studios and Islands of Adventure full for everybody that was at the conference. Now, this was like 30,000 attendees, plus all the Microsoft people, plus any vendors. So these parks were not, you know, quiet and bare.
There were plenty of people, but it wasn't your normal, you know, your normal crowd.
No, and it was cool because obviously no kids, because you had to be 21 and an attendee of the conference to get there. And basically they had a whole bunch of different ways of getting into the parks. For my hotel, where our buses picked us up and then dropped us off, they actually dropped us off backstage right behind the Fear Factor and the Harry Potter over there in Universal Studios. And so we kind of came in the back way, and they had, you know, like turkey legs. You could just, guys holding turkey legs, grab one, corn dogs, beer, take a big giant can of beer on your way. And they had these beer stations, like it seemed like about every 50 feet. there was some points where we were interested in food and whatever, but there was no problem getting beer or wine anywhere we were throughout this entire park. And it was just literally walk up, I'll have this, I'll have that, walk away, and you're good to go. So that was pretty cool.
I imagine as you described this, it's like, you know, all of the various, you know, food, like windows, carts, whatever, you know, quick service places, all of those. And it was all of that stuff, but instead of having to go order, they were literally like passing them like hors d'oeuvres.
Well, in some places, okay. they had the stations, especially near where we were coming in. But then when we got into the park, I mean, it was just, we went into whatever that Harry Potter is in the Islands of Adventure side, the restaurant there. We just went in and it was like, I'll have the chicken and I'll have a butter beer. And, you know, that was it. And there was no cost. There was, you know, they just gave it to you. So you could choose kind of your meal depending on which restaurant you were kind of interested in going to. So it was cool for us. We had some people that were, you know, pretty deep Harry Potter fans, so it was pretty cool for them that we got to go straight into the park, straight into Diagon Alley and onto the Gringotts attraction there, pretty much no wait. And then we took the train over to the other park and did all that stuff over there. So, you know, it was pretty cool walking around, and she had brought her own special magic wand. So that was, we had some fun time working out with that too as well.
Oh, cool.
So anyway, if you're ever at a conference and they offer you the universal option, it could be lots of fun. Now, that being said, I was there for 4 hours and I only rode four attractions. Okay. Because by the time that, you know, we got there on, we were there in the, I was on the first bus and we got in there pretty much right away. But by the time we got out of Gringotts and the train station line was super long, Forbidden Journey was super long. I mean, it was the headliner attractions did have pretty long lines, but we only waited like 10 minutes for Spider-Man. So, you know.
Okay.
It wasn't too bad.
Yeah. I mean, I have to guess that they don't have everything running at full capacity.
Right.
When they've got a group like that, because even at the prices that Microsoft is willing to pay, they're not, you know, I guarantee you they're not 100% staffed.
Right, right. And it was also pretty cool just being down there by the convention center, because there's a bunch of restaurants and, you know, it's like there's a Hooters, there's a Tommy Bahama, which actually wasn't bad. A bunch of those sort of themey type restaurants right there by the convention center. And we had a lot of events going on. I don't know that if I was a Disney vacation type that I would want to be hanging around there, especially during like a convention week, because it was pretty party hardy,
right?
You know, which was good for me, but maybe not if you're there with your family. And it definitely was super crowded there on the weekend. It took us, you know, we actually went up to downtown Orlando to the Tiki Bar that's down there in downtown, and it took us a while to get there, and through International Drive, just because there was so much traffic on a Saturday night.
Yeah, you had mentioned as we were getting ready to record that there were a few things that you thought sort of bore mentioning about, you know, I-4, I-Drive, and the whole, you know, downtown Orlando area.
Yeah, it's definitely not family. I mean, it's not really family friendly. Only ever really have been to Universal or to Disney. It definitely feels like a different vibe. It definitely feels much more like touristy in a bad way. And their downtown is fine, but it's no great shakes. it's definitely not worth going out of your way unless you're a crazy person like me who has to visit every tiki bar in the world.
I was going to say, not even for the tiki bar?
If you happen to be in town. But, you know, that International Drive area, again, not too bad if you're at a convention, because there are lots of restaurants. And, you know, if you're there for, you know, different vendors have different events at these things. But it's definitely not fine dining, not really. You know what I mean? The Hyatt, I have good things to say about that hotel. Very nice down there by the convention center.
Okay. So, you know, kind of leave that part behind. Your time in Orlando started with the convention, but then as your convention was ending, your wife flew down to join you, and you all headed across the way from Universal to Disney property. Now, that transportation itself is an issue for a lot of people. How did you decide to manage that transportation? Did you bother with renting a car? Did you use a car service?
Yeah, so we had a pretty good experience with the buses when we were there in December, January at French Quarter. And so we thought, look, it's just the two of us. Let's just deal with the buses. We're only going to be doing stuff on Disney property once we're there. And if we need to do a lift here or there, we'll kind of deal with that, you know, especially, you know, resort to resort type of situation. You know, since I was already in town and I was sort of halfway to Disney World, it didn't seem like it made a lot of sense for me to go back to the airport and rent a car. And she thought, I thought, hey, Magical Express, this is what this is used for, right?
She gets off
the plane. She just takes Magical Express to the resort. I'll meet her there. We have our magic bands. We go right to the room, all that sort of situation. So I thought this would be great. Now, the problem was she got put on the wrong bus.
Oh,
and
no.
She asked the person, like, are you sure this is the right bus? Oh, yes. And it was basically the bus that was going to the Magic Kingdom resorts. And in retrospect, if we could, like, roll back time, she should have gotten out at the first stop and then, like, lifted it over to Pop Century, which is where we were staying.
Right.
But as it was, she ended up She told the bus driver, yes, you got put on the wrong bus. I will drop you off at the end of my run. So it took like forever for her to get to the room.
Because that
like,
Magic Kingdom bus stops at Polynesian, Grand Floridian, and Contemporary.
Yes.
And because of the geography around there, it takes much longer than it should to get from one of those resorts to the next.
Right. You're doing some like backtracking and the roads and all that other stuff. Yes, exactly. So, so anyway, needless to say, Magic Express was not. And so, and then we also found that in general, there's lots of things that we can talk about with Pop in the new rooms, especially since you were down there too. And we got to hang out for a little bit. But in general, we felt like the buses were not as timely as they were at French Quarter. And I'm not sure if this is a value resort or just a luck situation.
Now, see, I'm going to say it's a luck situation primarily because I had almost the opposite experience. Because I actually was surprised pleasantly by the buses and the waits that I had from Pop, because I did the same kind of thing. I decided I wasn't going to mess with a car. I didn't want to have to hassle with it. And so I was relying on buses primarily. And actually, I ended up having more issues with rideshare services while I was there than I had with the bus, because I had one issue with an Uber driver. It's a whole – we'll get into that when we get there, but –
Yeah. Okay. So it sounds like we basically had opposite experiences.
Yeah.
General,
it sounds like
Lyft was pretty much good for us. For what was, I mean, I don't know. I mean, part of it was the buses at Pop Century are not covered. The line, the wait.
That's true. Yes.
And so we both had rain and hot enough that we didn't want to spend too much time in the sun.
Right.
Whereas in French Quarter, those are covered over there.
Yes, they are.
So
that does make a difference. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, that was for sure a difference. And then the other thing, our sons are 20 and 16, and let's just say we're not little kid people anymore. And our kids are not that age, and we don't have grandkids yet. Little kids aren't our bag anymore. Let's just put it that way. And I think with Pop, you're definitely getting much more of a family crowd than at French Quarter, especially as moderates go. So maybe we won't be staying at Pop anymore. But I have to say, the new rooms that they have there, the redesigned rooms, are really, really nice. And
so let's talk about those a little more and maybe in a little more directed way too. Now, I know that you were aware of those rooms. Had you done any kind of special request for them in advance? You just end up in one? How did you go about making sure you ended up in one of those rooms, or did you?
Yeah, well, our preferred place to stay there is the 80s just because of a generational thing.
Okay.
Also, when we have driven and had a car, it's actually kind of nice to be out there because you can sort of park in the back and you're right into your car, right into your room pretty quickly.
Sure.
And especially if it's raining or whatever. So we kind of tended to like that. And then I read online that the remodeling, they started in the 90s and we're moving through the 80s and sort of that direction. So I had requested a 90s room just because I wanted to try the new upgraded room. And I figured it was 90s is pretty much the 80s as far as I'm concerned in terms of where the room was in the resort.
Right. And so you ended up in one of the preferred rooms, and it didn't sound like you had – or not preferred, actually. That's an interesting thing, by the way. So
preferred for me.
Right, preferred for you because because it's worth noting that by all appearances, the officially preferred rooms that people are paying extra for, it looks like by all indications those are going to be the last rooms that get refurbished.
Oh, that's interesting.
I mean, that was my sense. I don't know what you noticed, but, if you look around at what's been done and what's in process, it looks like they're pretty much working kind of from the back forward.
I see.
Which means that those preferred rooms that are the closest to the main building are going to end up being the last ones to get refurbished. I guess to some extent, it's a little frustrating, right? I mean, from my position, I've got people who come to me and say, what can I do to make sure I get a refurbished room? And the answer right now is, there's nothing you can do for sure. As a matter of fact, at this point, the only thing that would prevent you from getting a chance at a refurbished room would be to book a preferred room. Because right, there are no preferred exactly. rooms in a refurbished building.
Yes, exactly.
But anyway, so you did end up in a preferred room there in the 80s. And so talk about first impressions. What did you think when you walked into the room? Because you'd stayed at POP before. You were familiar with the resort. So
Yeah. Well, it was great because they knew it was only two of us. And so the way that these new rooms work is there's a queen bed. That's an upgrade. And then another queen bed, but that's like a Murphy bed. So it folds up into giving you like a desk area, which right. was great for us because we didn't need the extra bed. And there were a couple times where I needed to do some work or pull out my laptop or whatever, have a desk. It was just nice to just spread out a little bit more in that room when there's only two of you. And, the bedding was very comfortable. They had totally upgraded the interior. In fact, I counted 16 outlets that you could plug into, plus 10 USB ports.
Right. And I think when you came by, we our trips overlapped. You came by to visit my room. And I think we counted and you said that my room actually had like another extra set of plugs, even more than yours did.
Yeah, I think so. Because yours was one of the adjoining type rooms and mine was end. So.
Yeah. So there's like an extra little, bundle of outlets that's like right next to where the connecting room door is.
Yeah. So, but I mean, that's great. Plenty, perfect for, families these days. And they had a little, the refrigerator was nicely appointed and all that. And, the size of the bathroom hasn't gotten any bigger, but it's still, the shower and toilet is separate from the sink. And there is a way to, I think there was like a door or something, curtain, something that you could cover to you deal with that sink situation.
Well, no, actually that was a big upgrade. So there are two things. The bathroom itself, where the shower is, has a door. But it used to be that there was just that curtain that would you could pull across where the vanity area is. And they've replaced that with it's not a thick door, but it's a sliding barn barn door.
Yes, yeah, that's right. So and a big closet there too. I mean, it was just plenty of space for two people. So I can't say enough good things about the interior of POP Century. It was great.
And are you of the love or hate school when it comes to the replacement of the carpeting with a hard surface floor?
I am neutral on that. I don't have a strong opinion.
Maybe the first person I've heard who's neutral on it, because it seems everybody I run into either loves it or hates it.
It was no big deal one way or the other for me. So, okay. But anyway, if you're looking for something new and fresh, that POP is certainly an option for sure.
Right. Okay. You said you were you're at the resort. You visited parks a couple of different ways. We'll kind of do our usual sort of thematic take on the park experiences. So why don't we go ahead and start with your favorite park. I mean, for people who haven't made the connection yet, Kevin goes by the Twitter handle Animal Kingdom Fans. He has a definite bias here.
Absolutely. And, just before we get to the parks, I just want to briefly note one of the reasons why this whole Magical Express situation was stressful was that we had a dinner reservation for Paddlefish. On that Friday when my wife was arriving, and basically, once she was in the room, we had to go like within about 20 minutes. And so and we got there relatively early, but we didn't push it in terms of the reservation. But anyway, the point was that she didn't have a lot of time to hang out. And, right. But we did have a very nice meal at Paddlefish. It's steak and seafood. It's not cheap, but it was very, very good quality. We really liked it a lot. And the drinks, very top notch, good quality craft cocktail, high end, but high quality drinks. So that's always important to me. And we had a great time there. And the service, super great at Paddlefish as well.
Now, let me ask this. Had you ever eaten at Fulton's?
Never ate at Fulton's.
Okay. So you can't do a direct comparison for me.
No.
But
the interior is like completely, I'm sure, redone. It looks very modern mm-hmm. inside there.
Right. And, you know, it's one of those restaurants in Disney Springs that I think a lot of people were scratching their heads as they were, you know, kind of talking about what was happening there. It was like, well, if they're just going to make it a steak and seafood place, why can't the steak and seafood place still be Fulton's? But, you know, it sounds like, though the exterior is still very similar to what it was, you know, it sounds like they've really made significant changes to the interior.
Yeah, I mean, it was, like I said, felt very high end there. So yeah,
and modern, which would be the biggest part of the change.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and food. What did you? What, you know? Were you going with the seafood theme, or did you try, you know, stick with their beef? What was the menu for you guys?
We did a little bit of both. We had the lobster corn dogs, which really are just breaded lobster meat on a stick. It's not really a corn dog, but it was great. Okay. And I had a steak and it was great. So my wife had some fish, I think. So, I mean, again, if that's what you're going for and, you know, you're looking for it to be a little bit classy, I think it was a real good option down there at Disney Springs.
Right. Yeah. And it does. I mean, it sounds like you tried a little of everything on menu, right? You had some steak, you had some seafood, had some fish, and they were all good.
Did we have a dessert? I think we had something there that was good. So anyway, it was all good.
All right. And you know, as long as we're talking, you were down there, kind of starting your trip at Disney Springs. Had you spent much time down at Disney Springs since the renovation before this?
Yeah, when we were there in January, we spent quite a bit of time, and it was raining pretty hard when we arrived at Disney Springs, but by the time we were done with dinner, it was actually a little bit of a reprieve. So we got to walk around and go to World of Disney and some of the other stores there. So that was pretty nice.
All right. Very nice. And you're generally of, you know, what's your feeling on the, you know, renovation or refurbishment of that whole area from, you know, the traditional downtown Disney to the new Disney Springs?
Well, it's certainly nicer with the parking situation, and the transportation worked pretty good for us because we took the bus. We took a lift to there, and then we took a bus coming back.
Right.
And, you know, that back section that seems like it's nothing but high-end shops is not anything that's super interesting to me. But if it helps overall, whatever, I think it's fine. I like what they've done in terms of making more pathways and things like that in the old Pleasure Island area. And obviously, with Disney Quest gone, we'll see what happens over there on that west side there, in terms of, you know, the mix of restaurants and you know, sort of more activity type entertainment.
Right. Okay. So. Good experience with Disney Springs and with Paddlefish. So I know that you were excited to check out Disney's Animal Kingdom. Now, help remind our listeners and me. I seem to recall that you were kind of an Avatar skeptic, but not a hater. You weren't one of the ones who thought it was the worst idea in the world.
Yeah, I was kind of where I am on the flooring at Pop Century. It's like I didn't really have a strong opinion. It was like, I'm glad they're building something new. And the way I was characterized the Pandora situation was that it was a lot like what they did at Disney California Adventure with Cars Land. Cars, not anybody's favorite Pixar franchise, unless you're an 8-year-old boy and younger. But nobody has anything bad to say about the execution, the experience, the attractions that are in this land at Disney California Adventure, right? So my assumption was that this Pandora situation would be similar, meaning, you know, I went and I saw Avatar a few times in the movies. I liked it, but it's not the movie I've rewatched. If they don't come out with another one, I won't feel disappointed. I didn't think it was great from a theming standpoint for Animal Kingdom, but although I did think it would be better than Star Wars.
Sure.
But it was one of those, I understand why it happened, and I just wanted to get there, and finally, it took a while, but it's finally here. And, of course, the big thing, you know, you got these two attractions, and you cannot get fast passes for both of them on the same day, because basically it forces you to choose one or the other. And so in planning our trip, we had planned 2 days at Animal Kingdom, 1 day at Epcot, and we had a fourth day that was going to be like whatever and ended up being a Magic Kingdom morning.
Okay.
But the problem was, is that 60 days, it was on the 60th day, but it was late West Coast time as opposed to early West Coast time.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
I could not get a Flight of Passage fast pass on my first day.
It might not have mattered. I've had people a lot lately finding that even right at, you know, the opening of their window for the first day of their trip, they're just not able to get Flight of Passage. The problem is that people who that's the back end of their trip,
right,
are basically swallowing them all up.
Yeah, exactly. So our second day in Animal Kingdom, I was able to get a Flight of Passage for 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So we knew that we would get it, you know, at some point in our trip. But the idea that we thought, and the first, both of the days we went to Animal Kingdom were Extra Magic Hour mornings. And we'd seen on Easy WDW a sort of a suggestion that if you can get there early, especially for these Extra Magic Hour mornings, and you can be at the front of the gates and thus be at the front of the line as they walk you back into Pandora, you can be on and off both attractions and be done with Pandora in terms of the attractions like very early, because they are in fact, you know, on a normal operating day opening up Pandora a little bit earlier than even the regular park opening for an Extra Magic Hour. So in other words, if the park opens at 8 and they do Extra Magic Hours at 7, now, well, I mean, nine is the official opening.
Usually 9 with Extra Magic Hours at 8. It was only during the height of summer that they were doing that extra early.
So in other words, you know, if everything works out, you could be standing in front of the park at 7:10 or whatever. You could be in the park by 7:30. You could be into Pandora by around 7:30 something. You could be off both attractions shortly after 8 o'clock. And, you know, even by then, the lines are starting to build for whatever. So but at least you get to use the rest of your day on other attractions at the park. So this was our plan for our first day. And right when we got off the bus driver said, "Hey, just letting you know, they're not opening Pandora right in the beginning." And we waited and we waited and we waited. And, you know, they basically said, "Look, it's not opening. We have no idea when." So we thought, well, we came all this way, we got up early, we're at least going to at least go and look at the floating mountains or whatever around there, even if we can't, you know, get in line for the attractions, or at least we chose not to. Bunch of other people got in line. So this is 8 o'clock in the morning. They're waiting in line. They have no idea when. So, I mean, for us, we were lucky because we knew we were coming back in a couple of days. Obviously, if this is your like one day and this is the one thing you want to do, it's kind of what you have to do. And it's sort of a bummer that it didn't open right away, but that's sometimes what happens. But, you know, obviously the environment there is super cool, walking around, very picturesque. I think it's great. And again, very much like Cars, you know, it's just like just cool walking around, being in there and everything else. And so, you know, we ended up doing other stuff in the park later that day. And we went back to the hotel for my wife had a nap. I got to hang out with you for a little bit. You know, so it just didn't happen for us for Pandora. And in fact, on that day, Pandora did not even open until the rides anyway, didn't open until noon.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a late opening for those people.
Yeah, that's really late.
Yeah. And I guess they've had some problems, you know, that Easy WDW had a calendar, and in a month period, there was 5 days where Pandora didn't open for at least 2 hours.
Wow.
Plus the two hurricane days, which obviously we're not counting.
I must have got really lucky, because I mean, my time, you know, in Animal Kingdom, this trip was pretty limited. My time in general was pretty limited because I was there for specific reasons. And so there were places I had to be at particular times. But I did I think it must have been the day after you were doing it.
Yeah.
I did the, you know, the rope drop Animal Kingdom, or maybe it was that day. Like not that day, but the day before. I forget which it was.
Yes,
one or the other, one end or the other. But I just, you know, I went first thing in the morning, and, you know, as soon as they opened the gates, followed the crowd, because everybody's going to the same place anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, that line, the queue stretches initially all the way across the bridge towards, it's the new bridge. Yeah. So I'm not even sure I can remember off the top of my head where it leads.
Yeah.
But they finally opened the bridge, and it seems the primary use of it is because that's where the back of the line ends up being early in the morning.
Yep.
But what impressed me about it is they're doing two things. When they open that early, they're probably getting the ride started most days, you know, maybe 15, 20 minutes before park opening. But the key is that they're pre-stuffing the queue.
Yes.
We
can talk about the attraction. I mean, especially Flight of Passage. I mean, it's a long queue, even if you take the fast pass route, which bypasses a whole bunch of stuff. But then you've got two different pre-show situations that you have to run through with the backstory and the safety spiel and all the other stuff before you even get into the room. And then, of course, once you're in there, one of the times we rode Flight of Passage, everyone loaded fine. But then the second time we rode it, there was a guy who had a size issue and it didn't work and he had to take him out. And I mean, we were delayed 5 minutes probably.
Okay.
In terms of from when I was sitting and locked in to when the ride actually started. So, you know, it's definitely not a ride where people are just like jumping in boats and going, you know, something like that.
Right.
So you're right. It definitely, if they can stuff that queue, it's all the better.
Yeah, it does make a difference, and it keeps the line flowing and you don't mind the wait so badly.
Yeah, exactly. So, but the funny thing was about this first day. So, okay, we did everything we were supposed to do. The ride is down. It's no big deal. You know, we have the second day. It's okay. We enjoyed the rest of the park. We always enjoy the park. You know, all the attractions, all this other, you know, I had some other fast passes and all that other stuff. But then we had a Yak and Yeti dinner reservation. You know, we had Everest fast pass, then Yak and Yeti for dinner, and then we had a fast pass for Rivers of Light, all sort of back to back to back, all in that area of the park, which was great. So we came back to the park to do all that stuff. Yak and Yeti was it did have good air conditioned air, I have to say, on a day where it was pretty hot, and we had a pretty good meal. This was one of those luck of the draw deals because the table next to us, there was a group of about, 15 or so, but it was like half adults and half kids. And they put all the kids together at one table and these kids were not well behaved at
all. That's so frustrating.
And so, you know, but that's it's Disney World. It's okay. but yeah, Kinetic was pretty good. And
it's Disney World. It's okay. But come on, parents. I get it. I've been there, but remember, you're still parents.
Yes.
You know? And you're sharing the world with other human beings, and maybe teach your kids to share the world with other human beings too.
Yes. And we had a better experience at another restaurant later. I'll tell you about. But anyway, Yak and Yeti, pretty good option if you're into this sort of Chinese Asian cuisine. Drinks not quite as good, but still pretty good. The Yak Attack, I guess, is our signature drink, but it was very, very sugary.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, great, no problem. You know, we got our dinner and then we're right there for Rivers of Light. We're there super early. We're soaking in the ambiance. We got to the front of the line where they're going to let us into our fast pass area. And they started scanning magic bands. It's sort of, you know, you're the first 10 people, we'll scan you in or whatever. And then the dark cloud started coming, and then we started seeing lightning and hearing thunder. And they basically were like looking around like, because they were supposed to let us in at some point, and it was well past that time, and everyone's kind of looking around, and they basically said, yeah, we're not going to have this show right now. At least it may not be canceled forever, but it's definitely not happening right now. So, you know, have fun. and so we're like, well, okay, let's do something else. Right as we started walking across that bridge into Dinoland, that's when the downpour came.
Oh, and so, wow. And that was a huge downpour, because that downpour is why I still haven't seen Rivers of Light.
Yeah.
Because I saw was coming and I got out of the park.
Yeah, exactly. And so we had our ponchos and we went over to Pandora because we hadn't seen it at night yet, and thinking, well, we don't know how long this rain's going to be, but at least we can go over there. And we basically hung out in the gift shop for about an hour because it was just like take cover type of situation. And it was cool because we got to go through the gift shop and really savor everything that was in there. But yeah, we were kind of hiding from the rain there a little bit too. So, you know, we went to that park with the best of intentions. And it really didn't work out for us other than the normal stuff we've seen for years, yeah. Like safaris and Kali River Rapids and all the other stuff. Needless to say, our second day, we need to see Rivers of Light. We need to deal with Pandora, and we need to get in there by hook or by crook. So we did the same thing. We got up super early, extra magic hours. But today, this day, thankfully, everything was working like it was supposed to. And woo-hoo! We got to ride Flight of Passage. Then we jumped right over to the riverboat ride. And again, we're done shortly after 8 o'clock. So, you know, those two attractions, I think they're great. Flight of Passage is really very, it feels very thrilling, but not in a like lose your stomach over lunch, you know, type of thing, like with a, you know, super crazy roller coaster. It feels really like you are flying. And I know we had a little exchange while we were there. You know, the fact that they have some water effects that give you sort of a 4D experience was really engaging for me. I know you didn't, it wasn't working for you, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think I must have just had some bad luck because, you know, it's a like a random spray kind of thing. And that's the only way it would work because in the context of the ride, you know, that's what it should be. And either I was, you know, so sweaty at that point that I didn't notice it or I just was, you know, didn't get hit. They missed me. Because my impression was, God, that was awesome. Now the only thing that was missing was that spray of water as we went through. And then you talking about it, it's like, well, yeah, of course, that was what was so cool.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's funny cause I, on the flight back, they actually had Avatar on the plane funny coincidence. Okay. So I watched about half the movie and it did remind me how much I think it was for especially that first half of the movie. It was just cool being in Pandora and exploring and things. I think that's really the best part of what this land is. It's exploring the environment. It's, you know, having a thrilling flight on a Banshee, but you're not trying to like beat the bad guys or something doesn't go wrong. You know, it's not like that kind of experience or attraction. And then the River Journey is very similar. It's just like get on a boat, hang out, go see what's around, and be in Pandora. And it's all cool to me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, the thing that struck me more than anything else about the attraction and about riding the attraction was that I didn't like all of the talk about how, you know, the movie had a crappy plot and it's Pocahontas light or whatever. I mean, all that stuff, none of that mattered. Like being on the ride was just this awesome opportunity to feel like I was immersed in this amazing environment. And I could care less what that plot line was. It didn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I think that the way that they've immersed the sort of alien landscape with these alien plant life, quote unquote plant life, I think that was well integrated and very, you know, photogenic. And we did have a meal at Setuli twice. Yeah. And I liked the cheeseburger buns or whatever they're called. I thought those were real tasty. And the rest of it, that comes with that meal was kind of okay. So the second day I just ordered the buns by themselves, saved a bunch of money.
Okay.
And so that's a tip. If right. You just want the buns.
So here was my only complaint about the buns. I didn't get a chance to try them because you can't, it's so unusual for a dish at Walt Disney World. And I guess I understand why, but it's the only thing on that menu that you can't custom order in any way. Right? It comes the way it comes.
Right.
And I hate mustard with a passion. And they come with mustard in them.
Oh. It's and not very heavy, but if
no, but
if
I tried to go in to order it without them, and you can't. There is no custom order option.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And if any little bit you taste it, yeah, it probably would be in there.
Right.
So exactly. I had a bad experience with their blue sangria. Was awful. Their blue their green beer was actually not too bad and a little bit lighter. I'm a little bit of the lighter side, which is fine for me. So, you know, take it for you know, take that for what it's worth in terms of the special drinks. My wife had one of those drinks from the bar across the way that's non-alcoholic, and she liked hers with the boba pellets or whatever they are in there. Yeah. So, so Thule seemed great to me for as a counter service.
Well, what I liked
different,
for sure. Yeah, different is the key, right? Well, that's what I liked about it more than anything else, is that it just – it was its own unique place. The things you were getting were different. I had the seafood or the, what do they call it? I don't think it's called seafood, but just the fish bowl.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I thought it was really great. It was tasty. It was something that was a little different. It all worked together with the little salad component things that come with it, which probably don't work as well with the bun, but worked well, you know, in that context. And it was just really refreshing to have something totally different, and it made sense. Right, that in that foreign environment, you had food that was very different too.
Exactly. And it's not like there aren't, you know, pizza or burger options in that park already. If you want to be going more traditional, so that was great. You know, really enjoyed that. But and then you know we've got the full rest of the day and pretty good weather that day too. But so now we have the dilemma because I talked to you about you know Rivers of Light and. You know, they have the fast pass option, but we couldn't get fast passes for that second day. And they have standby, but who knows if you make it. And then they have the dining packages. So if you're really wanting to get in there, this is a way to sort of guarantee your spot, assuming that the show isn't rained out.
Right. And this is what killed me because I was all set to pull the trigger on buying a dining package for myself. To go and to get the reserved seating. And I had it in the app. I had the availability was there. I could have booked it. But the problem was the meal would have been at like 3 o'clock, right? Because it's the off time.
Uh-huh.
And which is fine. I was by myself. I don't care if I'm eating at off hours. But the meal was at 3 o'clock. And then I flip over to my weather app. And like the entire time from 3 o'clock until 9 o'clock, was a 70% chance of thunderstorms.
Yeah.
And that's a really expensive meal to be going to eat primarily so that I can get the reserved seat in a situation where I might not want that seat even if they do the show.
Right, exactly. So, well, we had better luck with the weather, and we ended up deciding to do a Tiffin's meal.
That's the one I was looking at. So you're going to make me jealous and make me kick myself for skipping it.
Well, there's going to be some reasons why you would kick yourself anyway. So the way the dining package works with Tiffin's is it's $67 per person. And what you get is you get an appetizer, you get a main course, and you get a dessert, and you get a soda. And they have bread too. Well, bread is one of your appetizers, I guess.
Okay.
So for two people, you know, it's not cheap, but some of those main courses, like the one I had, it was a sirloin and a brisket. It was $53 on the menu.
Oh, yeah.
And so I had that plus an appetizer plus dessert. So I blew through my $67. Like I went way over what that would have been. So even if you're not going to Rivers of Light, if you know what you want, it may not be so bad.
Yeah. Oh, and it's absolutely. I think it's a great value because it's a really good, you know, it's a great restaurant and the food ain't cheap anyway. So I think it's a great value. It just wouldn't, you know, in my circumstance.
Yeah, exactly.
An expensive gamble.
If you order the cheapest, it probably doesn't pay for itself. But unless you're in that mode, that it's probably going to be a wash or you're going to save money on the cost. And I'll tell you, the food there to me was great. And again, my meat, I could have cut it with a butter knife. I mean, it was just very, very tender and perfectly done. I like a little of the sort of like non-American spices and whatever. And this was, you know, like a more of a South American spice. My wife had some fish and that was more Asian and she liked that. And the desserts we had were really, really good. And it was a key lime pie, I think, and it was really good. And good drinks, too. So, and the inside was very well appointed, very well designed, very, you know, kind of definitely not your sort of typical theme park situation. And we had a big table next to us. It was a family of about 8 or 9 or 10, maybe, including a bunch of kids. And these kids were super, super quiet. They sat down. They didn't say a word. They were like talking and, you know, quietly. And they were drawing with the little crayons. And, you know, it wasn't like a bunch of kids on, you know, iPads or anything like that. It was like, this is our dream family.
Right. So you want to run back over to Yak and Yeti and find that other family and say, okay, so here's how it's done.
Yeah. So anyway, it was great for us to have done that. And it was a good break in the day too, because, you know, it was about an hour and a half lunch
right
there. But, you know, and then we got to see Rivers of Light. And, you know, again, this is definitely a different kind of show. I mean, it's not spectacular fireworks with a lot of Disney characters that and playing songs that you well know or things like that. But I think it really does fit well with the rest of the vibe at Animal Kingdom, including the stuff they're doing with Pandora, to be sort of a little bit more spiritual about nature and things like that. And, you know, the floats and out in the water and the water screens and the effects and the music, that was pretty well done. You know, I don't know if I'd, you know, wait in line for hours or anything like that. But, you know, it is nice that it is a seated wait. So if you get there a half hour, 45 minutes early and you're having to wait around for the show, at least you're seated while you're doing it, not standing. And that's the thing that really bothers me about most of the fireworks shows, right, or especially all the stuff that's at Disneyland where you have to stand and wait for these shows.
Yeah.
So there are definitely some pluses there. And, you know, we were there that second day. We did basically everything in the park. We went to Rafiki's. We did Cali. We went on the trails. We did 2 safaris. We had Expedition Everest. We didn't do much in Dinoland, but we did hang out for a while in Restaurantosaurus to get, you know, some air conditioning and drinks during the afternoon. And we went on our own pace. You know, we did some trails around the Tree of Life a little bit. We were there for 13 hours, and we didn't even get to do everything. We did get to see Festival of Lion King, but we didn't see the other 2 shows.
Right.
And so, you know, we're there all day, 13 hours, didn't get to do everything. And then when we left, when the park closed, it was craziness at the buses. I mean, like...
Right, yeah, the park stays busy.
They were packing us in like sardines to get in. We thought we weren't going to make the bus. And in retrospect, it might've been nice if we didn't, but our feet were so dog tired. It was our third day in the park. So, you know, we've been walking all day. So, but you know, this is obviously a very different situation for Animal Kingdom than what we've ever experienced before, because usually the park closes early and people clear out after 3 or 4 o'clock. And man, that place was packed right to the bitter end. And, you know, it's great to see people seeming to like it. You know, we'll see what happens in a couple of years when Star Wars Land is drawing people to a different park. And I'm sure, like, we haven't gone to – I have not stepped foot in Hollywood Studios in my last 2 trips. So, I mean
– Oh, no. See, I did. I made a stop by at Hollywood Studios and didn't end up – unfortunately, the rain got me there too, because I went primarily to grab some dinner and then go see the Star Wars fireworks show that I love. But yeah. – The rain was not any kinder there.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I mean, it's crazy at Animal Kingdom now, and presumably once, you know, next year and the year after, when more of that park is open, it'll draw more people back over.
Yeah.
That. So maybe things will kind of even out over there. But, you know, kudos to Disney. I mean, I really like what they're doing there at Animal Kingdom.
Good. Yeah, I was impressed too. I've been an Animal Kingdom fan for a long time, and this just gives me more reason for it. At this point, I don't know how anybody could say that Animal Kingdom is not at least a full day park, if not a multi day park at this point.
Right. And again, if you don't love animals, then maybe not. But you know, if you do like going on animal trails and you do like sitting for 10 minutes watching the gibbons, you know, play around, you know, there's lots of things to see there. So
yeah, anyway, absolutely. And so that's Animal Kingdom, and obviously we spent a lot of time on that, just I think justifiably. You did spend some time in a couple other parks. You made a little bit of time over in Epcot, and it was Food and Wine Festival, so it's always worth talking about sort of what caught your attention while you were in Epcot during Food and Wine.
Sure. Well, you know, Epcot's kind of our second favorite park, especially for World Showcase, but we'd never really been there during a heavy festival. We've only really been there during Christmas. And so we, based on the way we had scheduled our fast passes and all this other stuff, we happened to be going to Epcot on October 1st. And what we didn't realize when I did all that until, like, I think the day before, was this was 35th anniversary day at Epcot. And it was funny because the last time I was on the show was we had a last-minute Disneyland trip and we got to go to the Pirates of the Caribbean 50th anniversary day. Again, not by plan, but,
right,
you know.
You ended up there by just, accident.
It,
I remember
it sort
that.
Of falling backwards into this. And it was the same exact situation for Epcot. Now, luckily for us, we'd had fast passes, but started later in the morning, and so we kind of slept in a little bit. And it was a good thing, too, because they had, a big, you know, sort of ceremony there by the fountain at 10 o'clock in the morning, and the place was packed. And by the time we got there, even a little bit later than that, the security lines and everything were still super crazy backed up, different security lines that we don't have open normally to get in. And they were handing out, buttons. You know, I was there, 35th anniversary. They handed out a special park map that was, you know, bigger and larger than normal and had some special 35th, you know, stuff, history of the park.
Right, right.
So that was really cool. And then they had, obviously, they had lots of merchandise, 35th anniversary merchandise. And, you know, some of those lines were pretty long and some of them were not so long later in the day. I'm not sure what I missed out on getting, but
they
seem to have quite a bit of it.
Yeah, well, so one of the other DizDads, Josh Schusterman, had posted in the DizDads group about seeing the Epcot 35th Magic Band that they had released, a limited edition Magic Band. And I said, mm-hmm. Oh, you know, what the heck? I'm at Epcot, I'll take a look. And this was actually the day before, because I left the day before that morning was when I left town. Mm-hmm. And he had seen that it had gotten released a day early.
So,
you know, it was that afternoon. I headed to the one store in Epcot that was selling them. And by, you know, 2 o'clock when I was there, they'd been sold out for hours.
Wow.
Yeah. They didn't even get, you know, to the anniversary day before they were all gone.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the way it is always with these special events. You know, there's always like that one thing that people want, and then there's millions of T-shirts that, you know, you can probably buy the next day or
right.
for weeks.
Right.
But
you know, again,
anyway.
You'll be able to pick them up for a discount price in the outlets, you know, 6 months from now.
I guess, yeah. But it was pretty cool. And they even in the Odyssey building, they had some special beer and wine stuff for Food and Wine, but they also had a special exhibit about the 35th anniversary. So they had some concept art and some models and some of that stuff. So that was pretty cool to just sort of fall into and check out. And then we did, you know, go over to Wonders of Life building, and they had the sort of an expo thing going on over there. Seasons of the Vine was playing and, you know, sort of catching the vibe of what Food and Wine is about. You know, on the sort of buy stuff side. So
right,
that was,
right.
it seemed okay. And we're not foodies. We're not totally into that. So a lot of that stuff is geared more to that audience. We're not Disney art collectors, and there was plenty of that in that environment too. Again, not really our thing, but you know, it's cool to see that they're doing something like that. And then we went over to World Showcase, and we were kind of looking around a little bit to some of the booths and things like that. And really it kind of came down to like a comfort level in the heat situation and
right.
balancing out on the lines. And so I might've wanted to do a thing or two, but I didn't want to wait 15 minutes in the sun for this stuff. You know, we went as far as Germany, got our pretzels and beer over there. And that was kind of as far as we made on that day.
Sure.
But we did have a great time at Epcot in terms of the, you know, we went to see the Frozen attraction. We got to see the new Mission Space Green. It's a real interesting change because
tell me about that, because I couldn't do, I'd had some inner ear issues and I was able to ride just about everything else, but I just was afraid to push it on Mission Space.
Yeah. Well, you know, the old attractions movie was, you know, you're taking off and you're actually going to Mars and then you try to land and something goes wrong. Right.
Yeah.
And everyone has got to press the right buttons at the right time. Quote unquote. So in this case, what the idea is this is you're on a training mission. It's your first trip into space. And all you're going to do is just going to a nice, you know, or a trip around the world. And so basically it's like you're flying around the world and, you know, the person says, oh, you're flying over China and you're flying over the Himalayas and, you know, like that kind of thing. And, okay. You know, it's all CG, but it's still pretty cool that, you know, it feels like you're flying around the world. And then, believe it or not, something does go wrong there at the end and you have to kind of do something. But it's like through a hurricane or something like that. So anyway, for what Mission Space is, I think this new movie is a good upgrade and the visuals are a little bit cleaner and nicer and more up to date. So, you know, pretty nice that they're made the upgrade there for that attraction.
Sure. Sounds like it was an improvement, and that's all we can really ask for, right? I mean, I don't think any of us thought that the attraction itself was going to go away completely at this point. And so it's nice to see that getting some love and an incremental improvement is an incremental improvement.
Yeah. But it is weird going to Epcot during the festivals because we're not used to it. And there's definitely a bunch of people there that are like, you know, wearing the I Want to Get Drunk at Disney t-shirts and being very boisterous about that as their modus operandi.
Right.
And believe me, it's not like I haven't had a beer or a cocktail in Epcot before, but it is a little bit of a different situation when people are just like mass running around
in the process of trying to find a way to tweet this while I was in Epcot the day before I think you were there, because I'm walking through World Showcase and it's like 10 o'clock in the morning and you know you're at Epcot during Food and Wine Festival when at 10 in the morning there's two women telling their boyfriends, we're cutting you off, you've had enough.
You're being cut off at 10 in the morning. Wow. So, yeah. So anyway, I mean, you know, we did some other stuff. There was like an indoor exhibit in the old Innovations building where it was basically had some sort of glowing cocktail and a glowing donut. So we went in, we actually did have that stuff. Because again, indoors, nicer. You know, we got to meet Mickey Mouse, which was pretty nice. So, you know, we spent, you know, kind of half a day at Epcot. And then we went over to Magic Kingdom. We had dinner reservations for Kona Cafe later, like 8 o'clock. And so, you know, we got to see a little bit of Magic Kingdom. We got to go over to Polynesian and hang out for a while. And we definitely tried to go over and go to Trader Sam's because that's kind of my vibe.
Right.
It was interesting because, you know, when you Trader Sam's, it's so small, you go into the little nook there and they say, you know, we can see you probably in around 45 minutes. Here's a pager. And we literally went around the corner into like the main lobby and, you know, 35 minutes, 45 minutes, 55 minutes. And they haven't called us. So we went back there and we're like, hey, we haven't been called. Was this coming up soon? Oh, we tried calling you all the time. So it was a bummer that our pager didn't go off.
Oh, that's not good.
No, but they sat us down. It looks like they had kept the seats open.
Oh, okay.
That's for nice. Us. And so they sat us down right away, and it was in that middle table. So you're kind of sitting across from other people, and it's a group situation. It was really interesting because these two young ladies that were much younger than us were sitting there, and we struck up a conversation and, you know, had a good time. You know, trading war stories about Disney and New Orleans and Disneyland and a whole bunch of stuff. Fast friends in the Tiki Bar was really a great experience. And of course, the Trader Sam's drinks and all the other shenanigans that go on there. Great experience if you have not done it over there and you like a good cocktail.
All right, very cool. It's another one that I just missed out on. Something came up and I couldn't wait. So I missed, I still haven't enjoyed Trader Sam's as many times as much time as I've spent hanging out at the Polynesian since it opened. Still on the list. So the last thing we haven't really talked about is your experiences over at Magic Kingdom, because you did spend, you know, what amounted to probably about a full day's worth of time there, you know, split over a couple of different days.
Yeah, maybe not quite. Maybe more, yeah, I mean, it was part of an afternoon, part of most of a morning.
Okay.
But, you know, Magic Kingdom was pretty good. I mean, we got kind of lucky with some of our fast passes because we could never get Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and any of that stuff, but we were able sort of day of, you know, during the day to be able to get into some attractions that we like the Jungle Cruise and Haunted Mansion, things like that. And we had a good experience also going through in Main Street, they have the glass store, and they do, like, there was a guy there who was going to give like a demonstration of how he makes one of these glass pumpkins. And these are things that we actually collect, and my wife really likes them. And we're like, oh, it's 10 minutes. We should wait for this. And it was super, super interesting to watch this guy make one of these glass pumpkins. And it, you know, it was 20 minutes or so. And he kind of walked through the steps and all that stuff while he's making it. It was really, really interesting. I don't know. I've never heard that they gave like glass blowing demonstrations at the Magic Kingdom. So I missed it. If maybe anyone else has, it's definitely worth checking out there at Main Street.
I've actually heard good things about it. It's a neat little thing. You have to time it right a little bit, but they do cool stuff there, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah. And we also had a good experience at Gaston's Tavern for a breakfast after, you know, we got into the park right away and, you know, good breakfast. You know, they had the cinnamon roll and all other stuff over there. And that section of the park is really nice with New Fantasyland. So,
you love the cinnamon roll the size of your head.
Yeah. Now the day we popped over there was a Mickey's Halloween party day.
Right.
So we got over there around 2:30 or 3 o'clock, somewhere in that time frame. And then, you know, like I said, we were going to go over to Polynesian for dinner, but we, you know, had a good 3 or 4 hours before we had to get going. And, you know, as 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock started going, we obviously there was lots of people coming in for the party. And I'll tell you, the Halloween party is some good people watching. Because even if you're not going to the party, people are walking around, and there were some pretty, pretty good costumes, I have to say. My favorite was the girl who was dressed up as a zombie Rapunzel. And it was really, really good.
Oh, so, that's fantastic.
Even if you're not going to the party, it might not be a bad thing to find a good place to kind of do some people watching there at Magic Kingdom on Halloween day, assuming the weather's good enough. It was lots of fun, you know, seeing some of the costumes that people had.
Yeah. I've seen some amazing stuff. My favorite, I think, that I've seen ever were the couple that showed up as Beaker and Dr. Bunsen Honeydew.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Like with big paper mache heads, which I'm not sure are even allowed under the new costume rules anymore. Or I guess they're allowed, but you like potentially subject yourself to, you know, a body cavity search.
Yes, there you go. So anyway, you know, was nothing particularly new. We got to ride some, you know, of our old favorites like Peter Pan and Small World. Magic Kingdom, always lots of fun.
Definitely. All right. Well, so time for our usual wrap-up questions. The first one I do want to ask, because I know that we already almost missed some things. Any other, you know, maybe non-park dining stuff that we missed talking about that we should have?
I mean, you know, Kona Cafe was fine for dinner. It's not the greatest location because you're sort of right there on off the lobby. But if you're going for something, you know, a little bit sit down and you don't want to have like the full on, you know, buffet situation, there at the Polynesian, Kona Cafe is pretty good. And, you know, otherwise everything was pretty much normal stuff, food, you know, food right. court stuff at Pop Century and all that stuff.
Okay. So looking back at, your fall, 2017 Walt Disney World trip, what's going to be the enduring memory? What's going to be the thing that says to you, fall 2017 trip?
Well, obviously the new stuff for Animal Kingdom for us that was new was really the highlight. And being able to see that stuff for the first time, being able to hang out at, you know, Pandora, take pictures, wander through there over the course of a couple different days and different times of the day was really pretty, you know, special and pretty memorable. And it was cool to have visited during Food and Wine to kind of catch the vibe a little bit. And, you know, sometimes it's one of those things where you don't know what it's like until you actually go. And sometimes you're pleasantly surprised and sometimes you think, well, maybe this isn't for me. And so, you know, I think that Disney World this is a good example, this trip. You know, if you really wanted to do that whole Food and Wine thing, this was a great opportunity. You could do that. And right, if you didn't want to be in that crowd, there's plenty of other things to do to Disney World. There's all these other great parks. There's all these great resorts, these experiences in the resorts like Trader Sam's, I mean, or, you know, Disney Springs. And so obviously there's lots of different things to do and you got to really sort of plan about what, you know, do what you want to do. And obviously in a couple situation, you have a little bit more availability to do exactly what you want to do because you're not having to deal with, you know, multiple generations or anything like that.
Right.
And then I think the other thing too is just, you know, seeing that glass blowing and the stuff with the Halloween costumes, even though Magic Kingdom is not my favorite park over there, it was pretty cool to have experienced something brand new over there for the first time. So that was pretty cool too.
All right. All good stuff. And then I guess the last question, if you were going to give just one bit of advice to somebody who was going to do a somewhat similar trip, you know, a situation where they're going to extend a work trip and make it, you know, just sort of maybe a long weekend adults getaway or something like that. What's the one bit of advice you would give them either to maximize the experience or maybe something that you wish somebody had mentioned to you before you did it?
Well, for us, a car still probably would have helped us most of those days. Even though in theory we could rely on Disney transportation, because we were kind of coming and going and we wanted to be on our own schedule, it might have made things a little easier for us. And we probably wouldn't have costed us much more money given the number of times we did end up taking a Lyft. So, you know, that's certainly something to consider. And I think the other thing too is that, you know, especially with anything that's new at Disney parks generally. So in this case, Avatar is the new thing at Disney World. You really have to do your planning and really be taking a look at what other people are giving advice around. And the fact that we were able to get there early on those days gave us an ability to go on that stuff, you know, with minimal waits. Or we could have waited for 3 hours. And I would have rather gotten up a little bit early, gotten there, got it done, and then gone to other stuff in the park rather than waiting for 3 hours in line. So, you know, planning is, especially if you've got your heart set on the new thing, you really got to think about and plan with what you're doing and, you know, rely on the resources that you have, you know, on the internet and books and sites and podcasts as well.
Right. All right. Well, you know, that's great stuff. And once again, thanks for coming on the show and sharing your perspective. It's always great to hear.
Always a pleasure, Aaron.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. You could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. Never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.